Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5thesportshub.com is where you go to download our app. If you haven't done that already, please do it. Tell your smart speaker to play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hardy's in our Town Fair Tire studios today. NBA players are getting ready to go to Orlando, or so we thought. The NBA's plan seems pretty solid. July 31st, things get going. Apparently, though, there are some players who were talking in recent days that are not exactly sure they want to go to Orlando. Adrian Wojnarowski had these tweets yesterday at about 5:30. As the NBA and the NBPA, why is it not the NBAPA? Anyway,
National Basketball Players Association
should be NBPA.
Well, then you
it is NBPA.
Yeah, but you it have association twice. That's why it's not NBAPA.
Players Association NBPA. Yeah, you don't
it's
want
NBPA.
Associate association.
Yeah, because you don't want association twice. Like, I'm used to saying NFLPA, MLBPA,
right?
NFLPA.
You know,
it's like you don't want to say ATM machine.
Yep.
Yeah.
NBPA. Yeah.
Well. As the NBA and the Players Association are finalizing terms on return to play, there's a fraction of players discussing as a group whether restarting the season in Orlando bubble is a good idea. Several dozen players participated in a conference call in the last 24 hours to discuss it. The NBA and the Players Association are expected to agree on a provision that would not require players to restart the season nor subject them to discipline for staying home, sources tell ESPN. The players would lose a portion of salary for those games missed. How many players is this? If it's several dozen players, that's a couple of teams worth of players right there.
Right, right.
That don't want to participate in this.
But more importantly, which ones? The question, right? You don't want to miss your superstars. You need your superstars in that league.
And also, isn't there sort of like that group think thing where everyone's like, hey, if all the players are like, we're doing it, everyone gets on board and they do it. But then all of a sudden, if there's a crack in that where there's 25 guys who are out there saying, God, I don't know that we should do this, does that make players second guess doing it and going back?
Yeah.
And does this lead to a problem?
When you start getting the threat of not being paid a cent, that tends to start to scare you a little bit as a player. Yeah, there's going to be some of that, sure. Absolutely 100%.
So now this is something that the league is going to have to be concerned with. Are there guys that don't like the idea of going to the bubble and playing in Orlando, which would mean to me that they just don't want to go back at all, and that's the decision they're making.
I mean, LeBron was out at the forefront of, hey, man, I ain't playing without front of fans. You crazy? I'm not showing up to do that. And then he quickly changed his tune. I mean,
so I wouldn't know why. I mean, I just couldn't imagine the bubble being the reason why. But Jim Lauf, leave it to Jim. He may have a reason why players feel the way that they do about the bubble.
I just thought, like, what keeping people in confined areas all together, isn't that how this disease spreads once it gets in? And what? that Isn't that what they're doing?
Somewhat,
and I know it's not
somewhat,
as confined.
Yes.
This isn't like they're staying in like a dorm or a nursing home or something. Like no. They're not staying in that type of building.
All they're doing is sweeping a certain area. And it's like when you go like on a tarmac or your air aviation, they sweep it. They sweep it and they clear it with dogs and personnel and all that. It's like a security sweep.
And these are
they
healthy.
They bring somebody important in. They clear the place out. We got a good look at it? All right. That's all they're doing.
These are healthy people, too. So it's not like they're older and they don't have underlying conditions and all that stuff.
Jim, you ever stay where they're staying?
I've stayed on Disney.
I've stayed on
Disney. Not in a suite, but yeah, I've stayed on Disney.
I've been to that resort. It's freaking huge.
It's massive. And
what's going to happen is these people are going to be able to move around with their families, and you might be lucky to run into somebody at some point throughout the
course. Well, no, they're not going to have their families there.
No. Not until after the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
After the first round, which is like 6 weeks in.
Yeah, it's not like when we go on the road and we're all going
to
say.
And by the way, Zoe, they don't get to like go to Disney World, by the way.
I didn't say they did.
Yeah. No, I'm just making sure that you made that so people know.
This is off campus. But they're going to be able to do things for these players to entertain them and their families when they get there because of the amount of space that this thing has.
But the families aren't going to be there. Yeah.
Okay, I'm clearing that now. Thank you.
But they can go golfing, right? That's one of the things they can do is go golfing.
But to Jim's point, the thought of is, okay, once we have the bubble and something perpetrates this bubble, the whole bubble's going to get infected.
It's got nothing to do with infection. I can almost guarantee that there's maybe a handful of players with some underlying health conditions, and maybe they have a concern about going there or going anywhere. But according to the article, the number of concerns that they have include family situations, the inability to leave the Disney World Resort campus, right, which has nothing to do with, oh, we're so confined here, we're stuck in a conference hall. No, they want to be able to go out. They want to be able to go and do things that they would normally do when they were on a road trip in Florida. You know, take that to mean whatever you want.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
And they're not going to be able to do that. The coronavirus pandemic and the implications surrounding the emergence of social justice causes in the country, sources said. Whatever the hell that last one means, I don't know. Implications surrounding the emergence of social justice causes. Why don't you want to go to Orlando as part of your team to participate? Well, because of the emergence of social justice causes in the country. What?
They're upset about what's going on in the country. They don't want to play because they're upset about what's going on in the country. That's what that means, right?
I would take that
as... I don't know.
It might be.
Where people
have gathered
and risk the increase of infection, where you've told us to maintain and stay in place for the last 3 months. Now, all of a sudden, it's okay to assemble in groups. That's what that also can mean.
Well, why would you not go because of that?
Of the next spike, say that it took place down there. I don't know. I'm just trying to...
I don't think they're worried.
Trying to come up with a few things, Hardy. Don't get so mad.
I don't think they're worried about. I don't think they're worried about infection. I think there are a handful of players who realize they have no chance of winning this thing, and they don't want to be away from their friends and family, and they don't want to be. Look, I don't. Hey, I don't play golf. So, what are my options? To go to my hotel room to hang out at the pool, practice and play, and be under the watchful eye of, you know, whatever coaches and trainers are there.
I think room service is a no-no, so I think that was one of the things they can't do.
For the entire time. Maybe, you know, not every player gets along great with all of his teammates. It's like, I got to hang out with these guys and no one else for the entirety of the time down there. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to. Hey, Jim, do you want to go to Orlando in July? Do you want to, I mean, just as a thing, do you want to go to Orlando in July and August?
No.
It's not that obviously this is not what they want to do.
Right. In July, August, September.
Do you want to play basketball and make $10 million? That's like another good thing to have in coming out of this July thing in Orlando.
And if you've already got millions of dollars and you've already been paid, you know, the majority of your money for this year, and it's like, you know what, I'm really not going to win this thing. Right, right.
Yeah,
so there may be a multitude of reasons, but the notion that they are afraid of being in the bubble, and they think that if somebody permeates, you know, this so-called bubble, and that way the infection is going to spread. Stop it! They're not.
So I don't think anyone has $10 million to make by going.
No. I'm just throwing a number out there, Peter. Just like, hey, you're going to get paid a lot of money. Here's what I worry about. You got these kids testing positive down in Alabama. Here's what I would worry about. You got your healthy NBA players showing up with no symptoms, asymptomatic, and say 10 of them test positive. What the hell are you going to do? Because now they're saying the asymptomatic people can't spread the virus. So do you really have to quarantine them now? Like, everything's up and up. We don't know. We're still not convinced Can you carry? Can you spread? What's infection? What's not? What if you're healthy and you have no signs, no symptoms? Not a single symptom, not a fever, not a chill. What are you going to do? You going to quarantine that player for 14 days? Because that's what you have to do, right?
Well, no, it's a minimum of 7 days with testing until you test negative was what we read. But there's a minimum quarantine of 7 days.
No symptoms. You know, asymptomatic. But, oh, they can't spread it, though. That's the latest, right?
They already walked that back yesterday.
You better walk it back.
But, Zoe, any discussion of, and you're making excellent points. And all the points we made on this, you know, in terms of health and public health, all very valid points. In terms of if you could find out the real reasons, and each of these guys, the 40 or 50 players on the call, and they were to cite their reasons why they don't want to play, fear of transmitting or getting the coronavirus is way down the list. They just don't.
I would say
they don't want to go to. They don't want to go to Orlando and be away from their home.
Yep, you corralling me and making me move like I'm going to some boot camp, and I'm going to live with my team under this forced reentry into what we're going to have is this finished season. That would be first and foremost on a player's list. I would say the actual risk of infection would be way down at the bottom.
Yes.
I think they feel invincible.
Right.
When you're healthy and you're active and you're young, feel like, I'm not getting this.
Well, that's not what Jaylen Brown feels, based on his tweet that he had a couple of weeks ago.
Let me rephrase that. I would say that most players would feel that way. We need normal reentry here. You're not going to tell me where to live, what I can and can't do, and can't go.
And Jaylen Brown is a
thoughtful
guy.
And by the way, it's not jail. It's not jail. You can walk out anytime you want. You just can't come back.
Right.
Right.
You know?
Well, that means you don't play, yeah.
Right.
And Jaylen Brown obviously thought that, you know, he had a reason that was strong enough for him to go be in the public and amongst the public, and that was the march in Atlanta. So he was already out there. So if he may not think basketball is a big enough reason, and that's fine. But there are going to be players that say, okay, well, I'm kind of afraid, but you know what? Going to play for a championship is a big enough reason for me personally. I'm going to go take the risk and go play and do it. Just like Jaylen Brown took the risk and went to march in Atlanta, because that was a big enough reason to him personally to do that.
And by the way, there's no indication that Jaylen Brown is one of these players that doesn't want to play. So we should just make that clear. We were just basing that on his tweet a couple of weeks ago asking about the dangers, the long-term impact of getting COVID-19 and recovering from it. 617-779-0985. If you have any thoughts on this, bring him to the table. We'll get to this date and show history later in the hour. The Red Sox put out a statement last night related to Torrey Hunter's claims of racism at Fenway Park. We'll get to that coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five is the telephone number. Red Sox had a statement last night in between, obviously, the MLB draft going on. They were active last night, the Boston Red Sox. They put out a statement on Torrey Hunter's claims of racism at Fenway Park. And by the way, Torrey Hunter's claims of racism at Fenway go back years. It's not new. He's been talking about this for a very long time. Let's get to their statement from the Red Sox last night. It reads, Torrey Hunter's experience is real. If you doubt him because you've never heard it yourself, take it from us. It happens. Last year, there were 7 reported incidents at Fenway Park where fans used racial slurs. Those are just the ones we know about. And it's not only the players. It happens to the dedicated black employees who work for us on game days. Their uniforms may be different, but their voices and experiences are just as important. We are grateful to everyone who has spoken up and remain committed to using our platform to amplify the many voices who are calling out injustice. There are well-established consequences for fans who use racial slurs and hate speech in our venue, and we know we have more work to do. This small group of fans does not represent who we are, but are rather a reflection of larger systemic issues that as an organization we need to address. True change starts from within, and as we identify how we can do better, please know we are listening, we hear you, and we believe you. From the Red Sox last night. What was your reaction to that coming out last night?
A little head-scratcher with the timing of it all, right? I mean, because now you're going to start coming on Torrey Hunter stuff, and then you read more into it that their own employees have been attacked, and there have been reports of this, obviously, internally for them. So I think it's just lumping it into one, addressing it. And I just can't believe – I'm not saying it didn't happen. It's a head-scratcher for me to be like midday – and I know you've been to a hell of a lot more games than I have, Beetle, sitting out there in those bleachers and someone to stand up and yell a racial slur at a player and then to not have people around them being aghast by it or have their mouth hit the floor and report the person is astonishing to me. I just don't think that should be common or tolerated here. See, it's one thing for a player to get heckled and stuff, but once now you start having reports of your own employees that this is happening to, you have to step up and do something and address it. And I think that's what they're trying to do here. They're telling you that this just doesn't happen to players here. It's happened to our own employees. And that's the one that's like, wow, okay. Because I could see a player getting heckled, people like really taking it to, you know, a level but not doing the race thing. Man, it's just I just can't picture someone yelling that in broad daylight at a player.
Jackie's
sitting in the same seat, you know?
Jackie Bradley Jr. has said in the past that he is aware of it happening at Fenway Park. David Price has made a claim as well about, I believe, being in the bullpen as a Red Sox player. I can tell you that twice in my life I've seen something like that happen at Fenway. I talked about this when the Adam Jones incident happened. Now, it's been years. It's been a long time since this happened. One was Kevin Mitchell. Do you remember when Kevin Mitchell was with the Red Sox at the end of his career? Jim, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
How long was he there for, like, maybe a year?
Was it 96, maybe?
Right around that time, 96, maybe 97. I'm going to pull up his baseball reference page. Yeah, you were right. 96 was the year.
It was before John Valentin, Pedro crew around that time.
Well, Pedro wasn't here yet, not 96. But
what year was the All-Star game?
99.
99, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Pedro's first year here right was before. 98. Is that right? Yeah. So, Kevin Mitchell is a player who I saw get called the N-word at Fenway Park. It was before a game. So it would have been 1996. Before the game had ever started, it was in right field. And I could tell you that it was, you know, almost 25 years ago when it happened. But when it happened, there were 3 or 4 people who, you know, screamed at the guy to shut his mouth and sit down. And that was the end of it. Not the guy didn't get kicked out. No one removed him. It wasn't, I just think maybe 25 years ago, that's not what they would have done at Fenway Park. Different time, I guess. I saw that happen once, and I also saw, and it sticks out. Like, I remember it. I want to go dig out the, I'm sure I have the stub, the ticket stub somewhere. I could even tell you the date. The other one was not a black player, but a Hispanic player, and it was Raul Ibanez, and it was in left field. He was playing for the Royals. And, like, the fact that it happened was not, I remember it because it was so shocking when it happened, if that makes sense. So it's not like it was.
You wouldn't remember it if it wasn't shocking.
I wouldn't remember it if it wasn't shocking. I wouldn't remember it happening. And it happened in left field. at Fenway. My family, Aunt Winnie, had season tickets in both infield grandstand, and we had these tickets out in the non-alcoholic section, out in left field.
Man.
And it happened in left field. That's where funny. He was called a racial slur. And the same thing happened. There were three or four or five guys who, you know, yelled at the guy and told him to shut his mouth. And, you know, that was what got people's attention when someone dropped that in.
Yeah.
And, but it wasn't like, oh, yeah, that's just what happens here. So that's why it sticks out to me. That's why I remember it. Because when it happened, it was like, holy crap. Like, did that just really happen?
Yeah. The only time I've ever been around that or heard something like that, going back to our playing days, it was in Cleveland. We were in the warming up in the dog pound, the one end zone where the dog pound always was, and they were all dressed up. And Eugene Chung was playing with us at the time. And they were going after him, and they wouldn't stop. And we're just sitting there. We're biting our lip, looking at each other like, what the hell is going on here? And then Eugene started yelling back at him, and he started laughing at it kind of. And then he made it better than what it was. And it was a credit to him at that time. And everybody's like, Jesus, this place is bad, real bad. But that's, other than that, I never heard the other stuff with players. Never heard it. All my playing days.
And I question, now, in both situations, the player had no response, and I have no idea if the player even heard it. I think Mitchell had to have heard it because the place was not that full.
You hear that word, too.
The ballpark was not that full. And this guy who had been yelling at him had yelled everything else under the sun before he got to that. And I think the guy was trying to get the reaction from him. And he still didn't get the reaction. So who knows? But in both instances, the player never reacted. Never even looked. Never did anything.
Credit to Mitchell, yeah.
Assuming he heard it, yeah, I would say so. Yeah. But that's what happened.
But as to the timing of it, well, okay, timing-wise, you understand why they're saying it right now, but why bring that up? I think...
Well, Torrey Hunter did an interview on ESPN Radio within the last few days in which he brought it up again.
There you go.
So that might be part of it.
Coming off the stuff Theo said with the Cubs, you know, and how he's got to be better?
And I think there is an element when a team is, you know, crafting some kind of a statement on this. Like, everybody wants to know, you know, what does the owner of this team have to say? You know, why hasn't Jerry Jones said anything? You know, what are we going to say? You know, everyone's talking about this. What are we as a team going to say about this? You can make some statement, or you can do something meaningful. And for the Patriots, I think they made a meaningful gesture in that they're going to donate that $100,000 a month, every month for the next 10 months, and they're going to work with players and find causes that promote, you know, racial equality. Okay, so they're not just making a statement. We're going to do something. For the Red Sox, what are they going to do? They're going to acknowledge that it has been a problem in their own ballpark. You know, they are taking, I guess, some responsibility for it, or at least acknowledging something has happened there, and they're going to do something other than just issue a statement and saying, yep, what has happened is bad, and we stand with those who we're going to be on the side of goodness or badness, and we're going to be on the side of good. Well, that doesn't mean anything. It means a little bit more if, as a team, they feel that, you know, the way to address this is to take some personal accountability for it. So that's what they're doing, you know. And there are other teams who could probably do more in that regard. I don't know that, you know, you go around to different teams. It's like, okay, what is their, what have been their accusations of racism? You know, how has it negatively impacted them or their game environment? You know, the Red Sox, never mind the fact that Torrey Hunter came out and reiterated it again, as you said, Beetle, a couple of days ago, but that's something that people remember and think about. So for them, I think it was, they probably felt compelled to mention it, you know, in whatever statement they're going to make about this.
617-779-0985. I also say that, you know, part of me says, is what has happened in their ballpark, is it their fault that it's happening? I don't feel that way.
No, just like it wasn't the Bruins' fault when people went to social media after Joel Ward hit the had the game-winning goal against the Bruins, and some knuckleheads go on there with racial slurs on Twitter. That's not the Bruins' fault. I mean, Are the do the Bruins feel compelled to make some kind of a statement about that, you know, with whatever statements they want to make on this issue?
If that were to happen now, they'd have a statement. Did they have a statement at the time when that happened? I don't even know if they did. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
They may have, but again, we didn't blame the team. We didn't look at the team and say, oh, you've caused this, right? I mean, I guess, you know, I don't think anyone would accuse any of the teams in town.
They did have a statement. The Bruins are very disappointed by the racist comments that were made following the game last night. Yeah, I mean, that's just... that these classless, ignorant views are in no way a reflection of anyone associated with the Bruins organization. I mean, it's online. It's on Twitter. Who knows where it's coming from other than, you know, identifying the people. But, you know, it certainly wasn't in the building. It wasn't anybody, you know, that it wasn't sanctioned at all. They immediately, you know, made a statement. So I don't know that they would feel as compelled to mention that whatever statement they make as the Red Sox do, because that's something that, you know, Torrey Hunter and now the Red Sox say actually did happen at Fenway.
And so they're acknowledging Torrey Hunter's statements for the first time, and maybe that makes a difference to Torrey Hunter. I don't know. I wonder what Torrey Hunter will have to say about that, whether he cares that they say, you know, we believe you, we agree that this is happening.
Oh, wow, thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
What does he say? I don't know. It's kind of a weird spot for him to be in. He has not backed down on this ever. He's been talking about this for years. He had his no-trade clause was, you can't trade me to Boston. That was Torrey Hunter's no-trade clause. 617-779-0985. Live PD and Cops both canceled last night, so those shows are gone, and now they're coming for Paw Patrol. You like Paw Patrol, don't you, Sal?
I sure do.
We had a Paw Patrol themed.
I like Cops, and I like that live PD.
We have had a Paw Patrol themed birthday party at my house years ago. Yes, this is something that's important to my family, or at least used to be.
Oh, still very important in mine.
I'm sure.
Even though I don't think they watch it as much anymore, you know. They're still fans.
Oh, that show jumped the shark.
I like the Brady Bunch when Bobby was hall monitor, and he stood around and gave people tickets for illegally walking in the hallways.
We'll tell you about all this coming up next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Zulak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Paw Patrol, Paw Patrol, will be there on the double. Whenever there's a problem, round Adventure Bay, Ratter and his team of pups will come and save the day. Marshall, Rubble, Chase, Rocky, Zuma, Sky.
They're coming for Paw Patrol now. Story in the New York Times.
Why?
I'll read from this story from Amanda Hess. And it's hard to know if some of this is sarcasm. And I think the column is built on some sarcastic tweets. But I don't really know. She writes in the New York Times. This is all over the internet today. It was only a matter of time before the protests came for Paw Patrol. Last week, when the show's official Twitter account put out a bland call for black voices to be heard, commenters came after Chase. Euthanize the police dog, they said. Defund the Paw Patrol. All dogs go to heaven except the class traitors in the Paw Patrol. She writes, it's a joke, but it's also not. So this is where that one line is the biggest issue I have in the story.
It's a joke, period.
But I don't know. How would we know? Like the people that commented back, they may actually feel this way. They may actually feel like Paw Patrol has to go. Because as she writes, as the protest against racial police violence enter the third week, the charges are mounting against fictional cops, too. Even big-hearted cartoon police dogs, or maybe especially big-hearted cartoon police dogs, are on notice. The effort to publicize police brutality also means banishing the good cop archetype, which reigns on both television and in viral videos of protests themselves. Paw Patrol seems harmless enough. And that's the point. The movement rests on understanding that cops do plenty of harm.
You know, the whole notion of the good cop archetype on television kind of makes me chuckle. Have you ever watched The Wire? Have you ever watched, I don't know, NYPD Blues, Sipowicz, who it was a good detective? Was he a quote-unquote good cop?
You ever watched Copland?
I mean, yeah.
One of my favorite movies, yeah, Copland.
Like, what are you talking about? I mean, there's very few shows that's just
Super Kids.
These are good cops. I mean, you guys watch Law and Order. I don't know. I don't know if there's any bad cops on Law and Order. But for the most part, the bad cop archetype is just as prevalent as the good cop archetype.
The story goes on to say later, cops are not just television stars. They are television's biggest stars. Crime shows are TV's most popular genre, now making up more than 60% of primetime drama programming on the big four broadcast networks. The tropes of the genre are so predictable that a whole workplace sitcom, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, is layered atop them. That's what it says in the story, and they're calling some of these, there's a new word out there, that some of these shows are copaganda. Yes. This is why we need to bring this up. If number one, if they cancel Paw Patrol, that's gonna be bad for the children, number one. Number two, if they start canceling the cop dramas on network television, what the hell is Jim Louth going to watch every night?
Larry Bird videos with his kid.
Especially with no games.
I would say maybe Tony Maserati, too. Maz loves a good network drama.
Yeah.
What are these guys going to watch? If you take this away, you're taking a piece of their life away.
Maz doesn't have any family time whatsoever, does he? Because he gets up, he plays golf, hangs out with his buddies.
Not true. You know what?
Shopping online, checks what's in his trunk.
Untrue. I've spoken with Maz a lot during this time, and I would say at least half the time he is either with one of his kids or he can't talk because he's doing something with the kids.
Okay.
Hasn't he said he watches those shows with his wife, though, too?
Yes,
so
he does.
Not like he's the watches
no,
them on
you
his
and
own.
Him are in the same. You and Maz are simpatico, okay? You guys are, you love those cop dramas. You just love them.
By the way, I tried watching The Shield. I went back. Yeah. I've been told for years that The Shield is the show to watch, and you got to watch it. I can't do it.
I never watched one.
Really?
Yeah, never watched The Shield.
I tried. I am
not one. I mean, one out of the
it's
show.
It's a little slow to move, Hardy.
It's not even that. I just don't think it's that good.
Sorry, you're saying The Shield. I was thinking The Wire.
The Wire is good.
Sorry.
The Wire is good.
The Wire is amazing.
Yeah.
The Shield and The Wire moves slowly, but it's, I mean.
But it's great. It's nice, good, slow burn.
It's a slow burn, and it's like, you know, good storylines and interesting characters. You know, like The Shield, it's like, this is kind of silly. I don't know. I didn't. But I've heard, and Fred has said this for years, it's the best ending to any TV show ever. I just kind of want to skip to the end and watch the last episode. I'm like, yeah, I think I'll know what's going on. But I can't even get to the end of season two. I don't know. But Jim watches, like, with commercials, or do you record and fast forward through commercials?
No, I record.
He doesn't watch commercials. He's technologically advanced.
Watch him like 3 months later, too. I'm not watching him like as week to week.
All right. Would Beetle or Zoe, would you put it past Jim to be the type of guy who sits down at his couch? It's like, ooh, 9 o'clock on Tuesday. Turn on CBS so we can watch NCIS. That seems to be something
Jim strikes me as a guy that if he were born, like, let's say 30 years earlier than he was.
Oh, he'd be so much happier.
He'd have one of those caddies on the side of the chair, a place for the clicker, place for the TV guide. You know, he'd have a subscription. He'd get the TV guide delivered
every
week.
Jim's the kind of guy to actually really bring the lunch pail to work.
Jim
like
still
a
had...
legitimate lunch pail with a thermos in it with, like, black coffee, and his wife would make him, like, an egg salad sandwich, wrap that up, an apple,
Jim still has
a cookie.
They still have TV trays. They have the little stand with the TV trays in the house.
My grandparents have
I have wooden TV trays at the house. I don't use them.
They want
the
built
kids
in
use them to outside, but
in fact, I've got my laptop on one of them right now, and I've got all the equipment from the station on another.
Well, it's just
because be careful with your fingers when you fold them up. You can chop a finger off.
I know
things.
You can lose a finger in that thing.
You have TV trays.
like kind of like fold out.
Who
and
has
you
TV
put in front
trade?
Of a chair. Beetle. He says he's got two of them right now.
Hold Beetle's on, Quincy.
Hold on. Let's
Beetle's
they're like, not the flimsy like ones that were like.
Here, dude.
My grandfather had a rack, and they had three of them on there. Hardy, remember
the
old rack that
Beetle.
Held them?
Same ones. They come in three four, and you get a little carrying case.
Yeah, look at him. Look at this.
Dude. So I got my computer on.
What do you do with that?
Because my desk has like a desktop on it and a printer, and we needed to sort of move things in here, so I had to set it up on something.
How many computers do you have in front of you?
One laptop and one desktop.
And an iPad?
And the iPad nice. For the camera. Yeah. Yep. Sorry.
Well, Beetle just has TV trays because it afforded him the opportunity to buy something online.
No.
Bought those TV trays.
The cool thing
I
is to get
these.
A,
I did not purchase these.
Oh. When I was a kid, I used to eat the Hungry Man meals.
These are family. These are family heirlooms. Yeah, probably purchased at, like, you know, Service Merchandise or something back in 1992.
Yeah, is that like a Louis the 16th like style architecture in those TV trays?
Yeah. So,
my grandparents used to have one.
It's
a classic
design, Hardy. It's classic.
Remember the real Hungry Man? Remember the real Hungry Man that had foil on top and you had to actually cook it in an oven? It wasn't a microwave? The real Hungry Man meals.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was the fried chicken with the mashed potatoes, the brownie, and corn. Yeah, buttered corn. Those were good. And I would eat them on my grandfather's TV trays.
You know who's probably is T-Bone back there having a meltdown about the possibility of Paw Patrol getting canceled?
What's his problem?
He put it in Slack. I'm imagining he's like enraged by it.
Why would I care?
Why would you? Because I know you.
Oh, come
These are the types of things that drive you nuts, where people go completely overboard.
I'm reading here that the fans just want to get rid of the police dog, though, not the whole show.
Well,
just
Chase
get rid of the police dog.
Chase is the main character.
You know what?
They just want to get rid of the dog.
And by the way,
it.
I don't even view
him
as
I'm kind of like with him on that, Jim.
He dresses a police dog, but he doesn't play a police role.
Bullcrap. This is what happens when Scrappy Doo came along, too. You ruined the freaking whole Scooby format with this little bitch dog that came on, and you had to give it a voice. And
literally a bitch dog? Or killed?
That's
what kind of dog?
It killed the whole vibe of the whole Scooby format.
Okay, so tie that into the protest against Paw Patrol.
No, we're talking about police dogs. And, like, Scooby, Scrappy was a little dog. It was always, he had a little chip on his shoulder. Like, I'm a little tough guy.
Tie together.
The dog annoys me in Paw Patrol, as does the mini dog in Scooby-Doo.
But, they're all mini dogs.
Yeah.
In Paw Patrol.
There's no use for either one.
No,
Scrappy or the dog, Chase.
But all the dogs in Paw Patrol are, like, the same size and age.
There's a couple big badasses. Yeah, and they keep them all, yeah. You got the little guys hanging around there. Little dog. The Beetle's right. He's the main character. He's not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere.
It's like saying Tinky Winky, transform the Teletubbies and get rid of Tinky Winky. That ain't happening. Tinky Winky's a show.
And brought
you like the Teletubbies,
a level of diversity that the show needed.
Right. Tinky Winky, La La, Dipsy, and Poe. Uh-oh.
I've never watched
Tinky
that
Winky.
Show.
I have my oldest, that was her go-to.
Yeah. We'd
sit down, put her in her chair or that swing, and put on Teletubbies for like 4 hours.
Thank God we missed that in our house.
Yeah, I'm glad we missed that. Yeah. Let's get to this date in show history. By the way, why don't we get back to a television thing at noon? I think we'll do that. And then back to the Stidham poll.
Okay.
The Brady Belichick poll coming up.
Since Zoe hates the poll so much, too, I posted one earlier this morning, too.
All right, good.
Based on something that's happening today, an anniversary today.
This Dayton Show history is coming up next.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
All right, this Dayton Show history. Here it is once again. June 11th.
All right, let's get right to it. We'll start back 5 years ago, 2015. Epic long silence from a member of the show. Here we go.
Okay. The NFLPA is going to look into this because they don't want to set the precedent that guys can be punished for missing OTAs.
That was Zoe's response, which was a sigh after 7 seconds. 7 seconds, according to the official timer there.
Okay, then.
Do you have any, would you like to add to that? Have you had time to formulate some more thoughts on the matter now, Zoe?
No.
All right, we're going to move on.
I probably wasn't listening to her.
Oh, you think?
I'm not sure. So, Dick, did you like write these moments down, like Jim? At that one right there. He's not listening. No, the other one's not listening. This one's not listening. You just gonna sit there and play police guy, like hall monitor. You know, Mr. Hall Monitor, ratting on everybody. You know, nobody likes a rat.
I thought you said you liked the hall monitor, like last segment.
I did like
Bobby Brady as the hall monitor.
I'd have beat his ass. I'd have beat his ass in that school.
You said you liked him a couple of minutes ago.
I grabbed him and shoved his head right in the locker.
So now you don't like him.
Hey, you like lockers? Go ahead.
Oh, I was bully.
All right. Let's go to... I don't believe this. It's titled... Hardy had a rough day with sound coming out of his computer.
I believe that.
I believe that.
I don't remember this.
I do. I remember this actual clip that we played.
Tony, stop saying
it. I don't know what it is. It's from 2 years ago. It's from 2 years ago from this date in 2018.
Updates where all of a sudden sound starts playing.
I don't know. Let's listen to it and see if this is fair. I don't know.
Hardy has headlines, please.
Sports and veggies.
Huh? Is that me? I don't know.
Sports Hub headlines.
Ew! I don't know.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know what happens anymore.
Unbelievable.
Throw those in. Baseball topics as well. All of it welcome.
Sports Hub headlines.
Wait, Lance is on the mound?
No. Whatever happens to Wallach?
What are you doing?
It's a minor league baseball brawl.
All in one day.
Come on.
All in one day. Way to go, dude. There's only two of those updates an hour, right? That's
At least it wasn't the Scarface.
Oh, I know. Oh, which God. Is the best one of all
it's
time.
The best one of all time. But that wasn't by mistake. I actually pressed play on that one. I just hadn't edited it.
You just hadn't, clipped the bad words out.
2018, Zoe gave us, for the first time, the real field temperature. So this is the very first real field temperature from Zoe. 2018.
It's a feels kind of,
you know,
like
they do the feel like temperature. It's like it's 67, but with the humidity,
with the real feel,
feels like 69. Zoe gave us our real,
and it hit
feel
me like a, like, you know, when you get hit me like a brick wall. It felt like I was walking out of my garage door with a suit on, but carrying my suit jacket and making sure I have my game day pass, my all access pass, because I'm hurrying up to get into the car. But wow, I just came outside on a Sunday morning in early October. And thought, did we close the pool or not? Because it's not summer, it's not fall, but it's one of those unusually warm days in the fall to where some people have closed their pools and some haven't. But then I'm like, damn, I got to go do an NFL game. We could go apple picking, we could go pumpkin picking, I go for a hike in the woods. It's a feels like kind of like that day.
So that's what they need to put on the weather websites. Feels like temperature. Walking out of your garage, got your suit on, but you're carrying your suit jacket.
Right, you think binoculars.
To yourself, did I close the pool yet or not? Because I'm going to Gillette for an early October football game. A little Indian summer crispness, but
that
not
feels
quite.
Like Indian summer.
Kind of warm. Could go apple picking. Temperature.
Perfect. Perfect. Nailed it. Exactly.
Did you say Indian summer or no?
I believe it's Indigenous American summer is what we're supposed to say now. I'm glad I'm not the only one who rushes around to get ready to leave and when you have to get dressed up. You just feel hotter. You feel hotter when you're wearing nice clothes,
don't
you?
Oh, it's the sweat. Yeah. And then 18 things happen before you walk out the door. Yeah. Like, hey, yeah. Dad, where's this or that? Or I needed money. What do you want me to do? You know when I walk out on a Sunday during the fall. You know it. It just gets dropped on you. And I just start sweating. I sit there and I just want to swear and swing.
So you mentioned earlier on that long pause that maybe you weren't listening.
Yeah.
This is according to Jim and T-Bone. I'm not saying this. This is what they're saying. 2019, 1 year ago today, Zoe was caught not listening.
Oh, Jesus.
And now, how to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
I'm not putting Backus back in.
No.
They've been better without him. I like that he's a veteran. I'm sure he adds great things to that room. I'm sure he's a leader.
The physicality might come in handy tomorrow night, though.
It didn't mean anything to them when they had him in there in this series. I'm sorry. It didn't make a difference for them.
But tomorrow night, we all expect the game to be called differently.
Yeah, but you getting to the net and scoring goals is more important than anything else at this point in the series. And he is not best suited for that. You are better and quicker with Kuhlman in the lineup.
And the Backus point. Other than him being a target where you're going to put him out there and they're going to go headhunting him. Tell me what Backus has done to earn the right to say, you know what, we've got to make sure he's in there for Game 7. You know, you look at a guy like Backus. What are you going to do? Did you say he's in? Did you read the lines?
We spent a good amount of time talking about Backus.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
Oh, damn, that's a bad one, dude. That's a bad one.
I think he was just circling back on Backus.
Those are kind of comparative to the winter ones when Beetle starts getting in with the auction and dealing with all this other crap and that, and then he's not listening. That was like, yeah, it's hot. Yeah, we were probably on the road somewhere. We're probably at some bar just watching people set up, people watching.
I don't know if we were that. I don't think we were that, Dick, because we're talking about tomorrow night. Yeah. It sounds like we were talking about this before Game 7.
Yeah.
Probably what we were talking. So we were probably in studio that day. All right. Finally, gentlemen.
Yeah.
This is from last year again.
Oh.
Zoe got very excited during a food drop.
Okay.
It's by Burger King or by Dairy Queen.
So everybody here at the Sports Hub today, and I mean everybody, the whole office got hooked up with lunch, didn't we, Zoe?
Oh, I'm Hamla. New restaurant, folks, opened up called Amla.
It's a Greek place.
Yeah. Hey, right. You want to say Hopa, but the nice thing that you really want to say, but you could swear, is called Amla.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.